started.
We're live. Ready?
Hey!
Whoa!
Hi, everybody. So great to see everyone. I know it's been a while, but we are checking in from London today here at Google DeepMind's office, and it's been such a pleasure. I'm here with my lovely teammates. I'll let everyone go and do introductions, but again, we're so happy to have you all. Thank you for tuning in, being part of the community. And we're so excited to share more today.
Yeah, we're having an amazing start to our new journey here as a unified team. And it's super fun to be here in London, meeting a whole bunch of our folks from Google DeepMind, as we've last week spent a bunch of time with the team from Google Labs that we're also happy to be a part of. And it's been a while since we got to say hi to so many of you. We know many of you, on a first name basis at this point over the years of making music together. And we got a lot more coming soon. So. Excited to be here. I didn't say my name, I guess. I'm Seth. A lot of you know me already, but still here, still making music.
Yeah.
All right, I'm Hike. Yeah, I think you all know me too as Hike on Discord and Hike on the producer app. This has been a whirlwind of a week, a couple of weeks. We're getting here. We're merging research. We're getting to know everybody. We're getting ready to cook, build things for you, and couldn't be more excited to be here and have the chance to chat with you all and introduce Jason Baldridge, who is leading a lot of the generative media efforts at Google DeepMind. So please.
No, it's really exciting to have you guys out here and to have a producer now in Google and to have the team spreading across Google DeepMind and Labs. I've done a ton of work actually on the latest Lyria model. I was leading the Lyria project and did a lot of work myself on the model itself. So it's exciting to get it out there and get people playing with it and seeing what people are doing. But I also in the past have worked on image generation. That was kind of how I got going in generative media. And then I worked on VO3. I was part of bringing audio and speech to VO3. So this is kind of bringing that into there. And like one of the things I'm excited about is getting music and video and all these things really working together in current models and future models.
Totally. So. Nice. Yeah, I'd say we went through this process, you know, even starting last year of like getting to know the DeepMind folks. And it was really all about the people and people like Jason, who we were just super excited to have this chance to partner with and really leapfrog into the future with, because there's just, we're really at the starting gate of how much we can bring to the world. So excited to be here.
Awesome. And so, Seth, I'll just continue with just some overall remarks about the past few months.
Well, I mean, I think we already said a little bit, but yeah, we know we've been quiet over the past months, which has been painful for us and a little painful for the crowd too, as we've waited for what's next. But I think we're finally able to, you know, be here and do cool stuff like this. And, you know, if you've watched our past live streams, they've never been quite this official looking. You know, this is quite legit.
But we still have the instruments.
Yeah. Okay. We're still just a bunch of people sitting around hacking, trying to make cool stuff and make music with y'all. But yeah, I think, you know, this has been a long time coming, and you know, we've got some amazing music now on the platform, made with these amazing new models and this new family that our team is in the thick of improving every single day, and new product features coming out very soon. We've got some big announcements to make even today to hopefully just really empower your guys' work. And yeah, I think sometimes you have to take that big reset moment to be able to really build for the future. And that's what we've done together. So thanks for being on the ride with us.
Yeah. Awesome. And we have Jason here. He obviously talked about some of the work that he's been leading here at DeepMind prior to us joining, and now we're joining forces. So we'd love to just hear more about DeepMind's commitment to music and creators.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can look back at everything that Demis has said about what we're trying to do, which is to empower human creativity through all of the different kinds of models that we do. And you know, one of Demis's core passions is music. Mm-hmm. And so he's been a strong supporter of music generation at Google throughout. And I think with Lyria 3, we're kind of really finally getting to a point where Google has a strong entrant into this whole thing. We know that we can continue to improve. And it's like, just like Seth was saying, like you start here and you build. And that's something I think we're really good at Google. Once we really nail a thing, we can then continue to improve and iterate on that and totally recognize that like some of the features got pulled back from what, you know, producer had before, but those are going to come back, and we're going to be absolutely hell-bent on making that happen as soon as we can.
Awesome. Yeah, a lot of exciting things ahead. And then Hike, would love to just hear more about like producer and us becoming part of Google and just overall thoughts and on that. I know we might answer a bit more in the questions, but yeah, just general thoughts there.
In short, kind of crazy. In longer form, I would say that it's a different experience and a step change, right? And being a very small startup, all kind of working together on, you know, this one thing, and this is all we care about is making our product amazing, making our models amazing, doing the right thing for our users. And now we're like stepping into this world where we have all these superpowers of, frankly, the greatest research organization in the world, and just kind of getting used to all of that. And also the incredible product organization of Google Labs, just figuring out how do we leverage all those things, so keep our identity as strong as we can, and just building the best product to support you all. And on the model side, I think it's just like we're getting ready to cook, you know. There's like we're meeting people, we're thinking about ideas, we're bringing the best of kind of what we've learned and done with everything that Jason and his team has learned doing the incredible feats of Nano Banana and VO and all these other things. And so we're just kind of, you know, aiming the ship.
Yeah. And like to that point, like definitely when you're at a startup, you can just move super fast in certain ways that, you know, don't happen quite in the same way at a company like Google. But when you look at things like the Nano Banana as an evolution of our Imagine models, it's a completely transformative shift. And it's the kind of thing you can do at Google with this really powerful model like Gemini, as this multimodal understanding model hooked up to an image generation model. And suddenly you have these fantastic editing capabilities that are just absolutely transformative. So definitely keen to like turn those cranks and like make that happen for music.
Yeah, I would say like, you know, 2 years ago, if we were thinking about who we wanted to partner with long-term, like Google might not have been at the top of our list, honestly. Like it was a different energy at that point. And it's really been pretty cool to see how much focus on the creative work there has been, like to see the image models and the video models really just like excel, and to see the amazing stuff that users, even many of the users who are watching, are making with those models is like, clearly this is all coming together and there's a real commitment to making this awesome. So
Side note, not music so much, but I was at an AI film festival just the other week in London, actually just last week, and there's a guy who told me, like, VO3 transformed my life. He said, I had all these ideas in my head and I just couldn't get them out. And VO3 was the first thing that allowed me to do it. And so it's really, like, amazing. Like, you know, we worked hard on that. And then to hear that from somebody, like, personally really mattered.
Absolutely.
Also, just, I mean, our you know, research team has just been used to listening to music, caring about music, just everything that we're building, all the time immersed in that. And so come here to London and meet all these other researchers that have been doing the same thing, you know, it is a separate company, but, like, the same thoughts and the same focus is incredible. And just getting to put that together is gonna go somewhere.
Absolutely. And one of the things, like, I've been likening it to Imagine 3 came out of two separate teams that have been developing text image models at Google, one in Google Research, mine, and then a group in Google DeepMind before. We came together, we made Imagine 3 together, made a state-of-the-art model in the space of 4 months. So that was, like, just coming in and doing that knowledge sharing that we're doing right now.
Super cool. And yeah, I think now that we're out there in the open and able to have sessions like this, we hope this is the first of many, frankly. Like, you know, Jason's been a huge, huge leader on the modeling side. There's a bunch of people we'd love to introduce you all to on the product side and the music side and the engineers that we're now getting to work with. Hopefully we'll drag a bunch of them on stage with us here.
You guys want an office tour?
Amazing. So, Seth, I think before we get into questions, you have a bit of a major announcement.
Yeah, I think it's kind of major, honestly. Yeah. And I'm going to try and nail it even without my notes, but you'll see updates with the details in our docs and everything. But I think part of the magic of being, you know, partnered with a really great partner here is we can, you know, deliver that value to our users, and you know, we know that pricing is a thing that people care about, right? Like, it costs money to run these models. It costs money to make great music with us. And we're now at a place where we're able to, like, do a pretty big change to, how much things cost to run on the platform, right? And so what does that mean? I know it can be scary, but I think it's going to be massively positive basically across the board for everybody, right? Songs are still going to be 5 credits per generation. You know, videos are still going to cost credits, but they're going to be way less credits. And basically everything else is now free on the platform until you meet a, like, very high threshold of how much you've used that tool. So that means coming in, talking about a genre, crafting lyrics, all these things that used to cost quite a few credits because we just had to, like, pay for those API calls are now actually totally open. And that just, like, should open the aperture of how much everybody can use this platform and come in and feel free to just try things and express themselves. And those live, in the spirit of still moving very fast, you know, this is an announcement that's live as of literally, like, 5 minutes ago that deployed. So maybe some of you are already seeing it if you're making music as we speak, but you should see, you know, still the same level of transparency around the pricing that you're getting for the actions you take when you go to settings and you look at each session. But it's going to be just way lower across the board, which is frankly just huge, especially for, like, features like Spaces, which we're super excited about. We're investing in deeply to make Spaces, like, this really open canvas where you're building these instruments and iterating on them and sharing them and building musical experiences. And that's going to be just way more flexible and open for people. Music videos used to be basically cost prohibitive for a lot of people. A 30-second thing, I think, used to cost like 900 credits, and it's now going to cost 375, less than half the credits to make a music video now. And so I think just, like, the number of those, the amount of feedback we're going to be able to put in to make those models better and just, like, bring more stuff to you is going to be huge. So as ever, you know, we'll get the details to you guys on the docs, but I think this is just, like, across the board should open up a ton more usage, a ton more creativity, and excited to be able to do it now.
Yeah. Claps for that, honestly. Yeah. So that's exciting. All right. So shall we get into some questions that were submitted? The first one we kind of addressed, talking about big company versus startup life, I will say. So you mentioned turning the ship and how powerful it can be once that ship is turned. So I'll actually go to the next one. The first is just around missing legacy features. And so when will tools from before, such as Extend, Cover, Remix, Replace, and Vibes return to the platform? And I will turn that to Hike.
All right. So I think we realized that those are the biggest, most obvious things that are missing right now are going to make it more powerful on top of the base that Lyria 3 is. And we're, like, basically prioritizing that as soon as we can. So not saying any specific dates, like, that is the most active thing that we're trying to get out right now. because we want them to. We realize that it's like supernatural to have this flow of replacing sections, building a song, covering it, all these things. And so, yeah, it is a major thing that we want to do short term.
I mean, honestly, I've been using Producer, and I want that. So I'm definitely like, put the gas on, like, let's make this happen.
For sure. So
what Jason wants happens.
I try to do my best.
Great. So Seth, question just around what's possible with Google that may not have been possible before.
I think even the announcement from today about this new pricing stuff is all possible. And like, I think we're going to see continued benefits there. I think we're really excited about just building on top of what are now an amazing suite of creative tools within Gemini, right? Like Gemini Power is the agent that is, you know, conversing with you and working with you as a producer. That's getting better. It's getting better at harnessing all the instruments, all the different tools inside of the platform. And a bunch of those tools are all these cool multimodal capabilities, right? That Gemini, that Google and Jason are like making the best in the world. So like really amazing stuff with video and image all coming into one creative platform, and having this producer that can harness all of it, you know, better music videos, better spaces, better vibe coding of these instruments. And I think, thinking like a year from now, like, I don't know if we're going to recognize the platform that we have today, right? It's just going to be a step function in every direction. And like, whether that means we're all entering this genie, like 3D world with our songs that we're experiencing and picking up, you know, virtual instruments and making this song happen together. Like, I think it's just going to be a range of aperture that we just wouldn't be able to do as a startup that we can now have access to.
There's one lesson I've had. All the work that's been going on lately is everything you think is about a year and a half away is actually 6 months away, because everything's moving so fast right now. And it has been for the last 2 or 3 years.
And so obviously by joining Google, our producer experience is now powered by Lyria. And so it's a different model from the fuzz models that our community is used to. And so Hayek, I'm curious, what are some tricks for getting the most out of the current Lyria model that you can share with our users?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I guess a couple comments off the bat. We know that whenever there's a new model, it's different. And that means the way of prompting it changes, the feel, different genres, different languages, all kinds of things change. And so, you know, it's unfortunate that the old models are no longer around, because things are just different. It's good to have an arsenal of tools, and we want to, you know, do that in the future. But I think as it stands, like Lyria 3 is an incredible model, and especially having gotten in now, starting to, you know, play with the internals and understand what it can do and how it will evolve in the future. I think I have a few thoughts that shine especially. So the first thing is just Lyria 3 is incredible at kind of the instrumentals, the complexity and depth of songs, the rhythms, the progressions, and just overall like the ideas of the whole thing, as well as the prompt adherence and the level of detail at which you can kind of plan stuff out, write descriptive ideas of what you want to happen, and even plan them through the song. And I think probably the biggest tip I have with Lyria is really to kind of go deep on the prompting, because it's very different than what the fuzz models could do. So if you get in there and you have, you know, a very short prompt and you generate a bunch of songs, then maybe it's not the same kind of outputs as you're used to in terms of diversity or things. But if you get into it and you start writing like even section by section or more detailed ideas of what you want to happen, and just try stuff and kind of iterate, almost like, like you're working with a producer, you're in the studio, all these things that we always wanted. I think that like the ceiling is really much higher. Like the best stuff from Lyria is just, it's more kind of advanced, it's more tasteful stuff that you can get, it's more artful, but you kind of have to dive into it a little bit. And I think we want to build tools to make that stuff easier and more creative. And we also want to improve the consistency and quality of everything across the board. Like there's a long way to go, right? As a base, I think it's the most powerful model that we've ever had, for sure, and is incredible to build on top of.
I think one thing just is the kind of, I saw this with image generation where people would put in like lots of comma separated adjectives and nouns and things like that in the early days, and then the switch to more modern image generation. It's give it a paragraph, describe what's in there, use Gemini or ChatGPT or whatever to create that description and get it out. So with Lyria, it's actually very long context, like You know, Hike was saying every 30 seconds you can be giving a very detailed paragraph about what's going on, and then have that be reflected based on what you're talking about there.
Yeah, we were going to have, unfortunately, you couldn't make it, but one of our users that we've gotten to know and have a great relationship with, S+T, you should look him up on the platform, listen to some of his stuff, but he's been an evangelist of this idea of temporal prompting, where, you know, he's really being quite specific in the lyrics field about what he wants to see happen and have those things really come to life in the outputs. And so we'll bring him on to the next one. He'll be able to show it live, but I think there are those capabilities now to really control the arc of a song in a way that you couldn't with some of the previous models.
Yeah, and that base and understanding is what's going to make all the edit features really amazing and let you actually like go in and change things and develop the song and make it yours in a way that's like going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, actually double clicking into that, someone from the chat was just asking around getting stronger like genre control and better ethnic instruments. So curious about just overall controllability and how we're thinking through that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're thinking through it and always like working to improve all the pieces that make that more powerful. I think that there are maybe certain ways and genres and things with the Lyria model that are not quite the same or responsive as the fuzz models were, but in general, the level of depth, especially if you start describing kind of the instruments and things that should happen and the progression through a song that I think are a lot more powerful. So long way still to go. We care about it a lot, but there, I think there's a lot to explore and play with that's maybe different than the fuzz models, but also like a lot stronger in a lot of ways.
And we definitely put a lot of investment into how music is described so that the models can understand those more like long tail instruments, let's say, mm-hmm. In future models. So you don't always get that right away, but over time that comes.
Yes.
And then of course, things like edit, extend, you know, bringing an audio reference that can also bring in some of that ability. So.
Nice. Okay, so Seth, even though we obviously can get gems from being very simple with prompting and everything, how is our team addressing the perceived drop in like aesthetic quality of Lyria compared to past models and competitors?
Yeah, I mean, I think as we're hinting at, there's a bunch of amazing music you can get out of Lyria. Like, I think when we announced the model, we were like, you know, this has the highest creative ceiling, which I think is totally true. I do think we totally recognize that there are gaps in various ways of performance. Like, I think I say more than anybody on the team, and we'll continue to pound the table that like our vocals are just not as good as they need to be, and like the delivery of those vocals, the melodies that they follow, like it's a super important thing to me as a musician. It's a super important thing to you all as users. Like, it's just gotta like feel good and feel real and natural and like make you want to listen twice. And I don't think we're good enough there. But you know, I think that's a major reason why we've been trying to encourage so much usage from y'all, is because that feedback loop and those actions you're taking are like a huge piece of how we can, you know, climb that hill and, you know, take it to the next level. But yeah, we're totally aware, you know, like nobody wants the model to be awesome more than us. We're here every day trying to work on it and make music with it ourselves. And that's how this all started, was just wanting to build a tool we would use every day. So we're right there with you.
Awesome. Jason, so what's the story with the synth ID, watermark, safety filters, and any effects on ownership of the music that people create?
Yeah, so synth ID is... Okay, let's back up. I talked about how quickly everything is evolving, right? And if you go back, I was working on text image generation in like 2019. There was a lot, just huge open-ended, we don't know how this is going to impact society, so we wanted to be able to have the means to help address potential concerns about misinformation, all that kind of stuff. So with images and video, like that was one of the things we thought was really important to responsibly bring that kind of generative capability to the world. So that's where SynthID has such a huge role in those kinds of things when you're doing things with Imagine, Nano Banana, VO, and all those things. We just have a blanket kind of right now, everything that we generate in this way is SynthID, you know, so that people know that this was generated in that way. So that's the current policy, right? Now, of course, everything is subject to change and reassessment and all that. So that's where we are right now, is trying to do that thing where we're, you know, bold and able to bring these capabilities to the world, but also sufficiently cautious that we're doing it in a responsible manner. So that's kind of key thing there. And then that same thing goes for safety, right? There are, you know, various theories about how these models should work and how they should be kind of, you know, safeguarded and all that. I would say like the general trend right now is like you initially launch with a fairly, you know, conservative set of filters, and then you observe what's happening. You get feedback, and like the feedback that gets submitted about like, well, this got blocked. Like, what's going on here? We analyze that and look at that and see like, well, do we actually need to change some of the settings on these to allow more in? So the goal is not to constrain creative freedom. The goal is to like make sure that like we're holding to our responsibilities as a company and to our Gen AI policies and all that kind of stuff. But over time, we're able to generally bring more control of that and to basically reduce what we call the block rate. Mm-hmm. And so, that's definitely kind of a key metric that we want to do, is make sure that when you want to express yourself in a way that's fine, you can, you're not blocked on that. But there are certain hard lines, certain safety things that, so like child safety is paramount, and we just absolutely have to focus on that kind of thing. And then the others are more of a negotiation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The commercial thing, maybe, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I can add a little bit to that. I mean, I think on one hand, Synth ID doesn't say anything about like ownership, right? The songs are yours if you make them with us. You know, Google's not claiming ownership of those songs, to the point of moderation. Like, yeah, I think while we're obviously working on these big features, like, you know, bring back replace and all these inpainting and the, you know, next generations of the models, like there's a bunch of these like more, you know, fundamental pieces, which are also like totally being worked on, such as like cleaning up unnecessary aspects of moderation, speeding up the models, like work on little parts of lyric adherence and like pronunciation and stuff. Like those things, we hear you on all of those and are like very, very much on top of those pieces too.
Great. And then someone actually asked a question in the chat around why we are using agentic UI and why we believe in that as kind of the product value for producers. So anyone want to provide some context?
I can speak a bit to it. Yeah, I mean, probably everybody has their own value and drawbacks from it, frankly. But I think part of the whole vision of producer is to capture the magic of stepping into a real studio with a creative partner that's there to help you and help to empower whatever direction you want to go that day, and like help to just like encourage you to come back and keep making music. And I think the agentic approach is really fundamental to that, right? Like otherwise you're just kind of hitting this, you know, lottery box over and over again and trying to get something, but really working with something, having it become personalized over time, having it like add tools to its arsenal that it can come and bring into your experience is like definitely where we see the future headed with a bunch of creative modalities, and music is, you know, the one that's most important to us. And so we gotta make it happen. We gotta make it magical. I think like right now, again, thinking about a year from now, looking back at today, like that experience is going to be just so much more immersive and so much more real time and fast, right? Like I think there's a bunch of just like waiting for the agent to like decide what to do and then do it, right? And we have that all when we use Gemini too. It's like this like kind of slightly unauthentic experience with the producer, but I think that's all just coming down to a place where it's going to feel very flow state.
Also to say that don't mistake the current form factor for the way it's always going to be, and think in terms of like, what does it mean in terms of an interaction? Yeah. So, you know, there's the famous Wayne Gretzky quote, don't skate to where the puck is, skate to where it's going.
Sure.
I think in the case of so many things with AI, people are skating where the puck was, not where it is, much less where it's going. And if you think about, for example, how so many people think, well, the natural interface to AI are these chatbots, Gemini app, ChatGPT, Claude, and things like that. If you're already doing things like, you know, anti-gravity and other kinds of coding tools, you see like that's just such a paltry version of what you can do when you actually have a much more powerful interaction. So now imagine that you actually have voice interface with an agent, like producer AIs, a voice that's working there, and you actually have instruments, you have like a DAW and things like that. You know, we don't know yet what that's going to look like, but the basic thing is that conversational partner that's working with you.
Yeah, and even just adding on to that, where Seth started with the metaphor of being in the studio, like that comes from actually being in the studio with some amazing producers where like you are, you know, maybe you're on the couch with a guitar, maybe you're in the booth, maybe you're with some friends and just talking, and the producer knows how to get stuff going, get you in a flow state, play some things to get you started, draw some ideas out. Maybe I'm playing some, you know, crappy guitars I do, and then they're recording something, then they turn it into something else and mix it with somebody else and provide ideas. And like the language of that whole experience and dialogue is like English. It's text and voice and audio. And so text and voice and audio back and forth in a rich way is just like, that's the flow state. And for some people, if you're somebody that works in a DAW and you're like trained in that and you're, you know, you're in that interface, like that's amazing. And that's a complimentary thing. But our app is like more for the person that is working with that person in the studio. Like, you are the musician, you're the artist, you're exploring. And I think the agentic workflow and where it's all going is like very aligned with that. Just get out of your way and work, you know, work with you, work for you.
Yeah. I think we're all really excited about the improvements we're going to be making to this, because as we mentioned throughout this, we all use the product and love to create music with it. And so kind of to that point, we'd love to get to know more about the DeepMind team a bit. What music do you like, Jason? And what do you most want to create on Producer in the future? And also, third part to this, what about the DeepMind team generally? Like, what types of music are you all listening to, creating? And there's a lot of musicians
absolutely.
On the team.
I mean, the team has a lot of metalheads.
Okay.
So definitely that. I listen to almost everything. So like, one of the things I do is I obsessively listen to music throughout the year, especially while I'm programming and doing things like that. And my younger brother and I basically every year produce our 100 songs that were our favorite of the year, each of us, and then but we share independently. I have to finish up mine for last year, actually. And that usually for me comes from like 800 songs that I put into a bucket for the whole year, and then I just obsessively go through. I'm down to like 170 right now, so I'm into the hard part of like chucking out 70 songs I really like. And so those, you know, span the gamut from, you know, indie and rock and things like that. But you know, I actually like things that are not very radio friendly, so like really glitchy and you know, have some really hard driving kind of components to it. Mm-hmm. So, I like pretty much everything. I would say
it's been pretty cool to see. Like, you know, we got obviously new chat rooms with tons of people, and we're all getting used to that. But it's like fun to see all the DeepMind folks using the tool and like sharing the stuff they're building and like exploring genres that we're not working on and stuff. It's just like, it's cool, especially when that's coming from all over the world now. Like this team is spread out everywhere, and you know, so seeing those different influences is pretty cool.
Where do we get access to Jason's Billboard 100?
I can share.
People want to know, right?
I can share last year's actually, and then when I got this year's ready, I'll share it. I'm producer, though. One of the things I'm trying to do is like find those genre mixes where, you know, you're really trying to do this, and it can be hard right now. And I really want the next model to be better at this. But you know, you're bringing in like a sitar with some blues and doing things like that, and having that like really meld together in a really interesting musical way. And then I like to see like if you can really make it just go hard.
Awesome. Okay. We'll have to hear when you come up with those genre
mixes.
Sure. And I realize I meant to ask about this a bit earlier, but what in terms of, we have some audio glitches and bugs that we acknowledge that our community has brought up. And so what is causing the consistent audio glitch and popping artifacts at the 132 mark in Lyria 3? And when will this be fixed? Hike.
Yeah, so the glitch is caused by just an unfortunate detail in the way that audio is decoded. And it's not, you know, it's not a principal reason. It's just a bug, and we're sorry. Took a while, but the date at which you'll be fixed is like -4 hours. It's already been fixed. So it should be fixed. Please let us know if you find more glitches. We care about this stuff, and we want to move fast on figuring out, you know, just all the most important sources of feedback and tackling them. So thanks for complaining about it, and rightfully so.
Please, we listen to you. We really do, and read Discord, and we want to make sure we're building an experience that you love. So. All right, and so last question, what's the future of these live streams, and what do I do if my questions didn't get answered? I will answer that. Well, first, let us know if you like this format. I know, you know, about a year ago, we were doing pretty consistent live streams with the community, whether it was office hours or artist spotlights, which I know a lot of people loved. So if you want us to bring that back, please let us know. In Discord, you can ping me directly, but we will likely be doing that regardless of if you want it. Just let me know. And if your questions weren't answered, please message support@producer.ai. Transparently, our team has been really busy over the past 2-3 weeks, and so we may have been a little bit slower to get back to you, but we apologize, and we will make sure that we address everything. And we have an awesome team here at Google that is now going to be supporting the effort as well. So it's not just a few of us in our startup office anymore. So really excited to support that way.
Maybe I'd, I mean, obviously Jason and the DeepMind folks are kind of the celebrity guests for today, but I think we also have a bunch of, you know, even our past artists, professional artists that we've been working with, obviously, throughout this whole journey that have been awesome. And we're going to do more stuff with them. They're going to be sharing how they're using Lyria and other things, which will be awesome. And yeah, I think both our previous artist partners, as well as all of those that have made cool stuff with Google's models in the past, are going to be fun to engage with and kind of bring into the community, as well as lifting up you all who are, you know, using it every day.
Awesome. Well, any last thoughts?
If not, I'm just really excited. I mean, we brought Producer to Google because we really believed in the product and the community, and definitely want to like address the concerns, get like new models and capabilities out as quickly as we can. That's really important to us. So, yeah.
Thank you all for joining.
Yes,
all right.
Thank you.
Keep making music.
Bye. Bye.